Today, we're talking about 5 things that every youth pastor should be doing if they're not already.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Ministry Coach Podcast, the podcast that is the coach for the coachless in youth ministry. My name is Jeff Lascola. This is
Kristen Lascola.
And today we're going to talk about the 5 things that youth pastors should do.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things we should do. I would guess there's more than 5 things we should be doing, or else, hey, it's That'd a pretty, pretty chill week. These are things, I guess, to qualify that a little bit. Maybe that were not so obvious. So do your job, do that, and all the things that come along with that. That to-do list, I'm sure, is bigger than 5, but maybe just the not so obvious things that took me a few rounds to figure out and that didn't click for me right away. So if you're new, this might be helpful. And if you're new and you're like, I'm already doing all those, well, you are way ahead of where I was.
Gold star, gold sticker.
Yeah. And these are the kinds of things that will make your job easier, not necessarily in the moment, but for the long haul. And that's what we're all looking to do, is to stay in youth ministry for the long haul and not burn out, and put some things in place there to make our job easier year after year. Mm-hmm. So, number one, save and reuse your work. I was not always so good at saving my content and saving the things that I had used in the past in a very accessible, organized location. Mm-hmm. So like I had all these different file folders on my computer of like events, activities. Well, which one was an event and which one was an activity? And then like, where is my calendar saved? And then remember that little postcard thing I made to remind kids about this? Where is that? So I think getting a really good saving system down so that you can reuse it, because then it's not like every year you're redesigning a flyer, or you're right, redesigning a calendar, or you're redoing a talk sheet about gossip that you've already done a million times. Well, where did it go? Or then when you go to guest speak, you have your guest speaking talks all polished and ready. Oh, let me just pull out this one, tweak it for the context, but get really good at saving your stuff so that you can reuse it. Along those lines, we've talked about before, keep a game and sermon log of what you've been talking about. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, it's time for a new series. What have we not talked about in a while? Well, I don't know. Like, I can't even think of what we talked about 8 weeks ago. So keeping a log of, wow, we talked about the end times, or we talked about relationships or whatever. Ooh, it'd be really good to do something on like a book study. Let's do the book of John or whatever it might be. So making sure that you're keeping track also of your games helps you know what would be like indoor, outdoor, let's play a runaround game, let's play a stage game. It just helps make sure that your youth group is well-rounded, because you don't want someone to come to your youth group month after month or year after year, hopefully, and just feel like you guys kind of do the same thing. Well, if you're not really keeping track, it's just too vague and you'll just go to your go-to things.
Right.
Well, dodgeball's fun. Let's just do it, you know? But if you're more strategic and keeping track of what you're doing, you can see it from a bird's eye view that I need some variety in here. Or, guy, we do this every week. Or, whoa, we never talk about this. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that you can measure that so that you can improve that. What I also like to do is, and I mentioned this before, make little notes for each one of these things. So for example, you know, I've talked about in the past, like game notes. So you could say we played dodgeball, teams were too big, or time rounds were too long, make them shorter, whatever. But you can also do that for your events. So for example, I do one youth group a year at the beach during the summer. We call it Chaos at the Beach. and we do a barbecue and s'mores and a game and worship and all of that. Well, there's a lot of things I need to remember. And I always think, I'll remember the trash bags. I'll remember the lighter fluid. I'll remember, but you don't.
365 days later, you're like, what did I forget last time? And I knew I needed this and I didn't have it. Now I don't remember.
And it's so frustrating. And so every year you just want to be able to pull up the notes that say chaos at the beach, things to bring, things to buy, things that would have gone better. So you can leave a little note. Well, hey, pickup was really hard because parents didn't know where to park. Next time we need a better pickup system. So that the point is you want to always get better every single year. And the discipline part comes in immediately writing notes after the event,
because you're like, fresh in your mind.
It's over. I want to move on, you know, but exactly. When it's fresh in your mind. Another great thing you could do is pull the leaders that were a part of that event and say, what did you see that we missed, or what would have made it better? Because leaders are sitting at a different place all throughout the event and having different conversations. And, oh, well, the kids really wanted to play like around a football. It would have been nice if we had had just some random footballs and frisbees and stuff laying around for people. Oh, good to know. Or, yeah, there was some dead time. We should have had a speaker with music or whatever it might be. It just could give you that little note for next year to make your events better. So discipline yourself to keep documents for your events with a place for notes. So that just is, I guess, across the board. Save stuff, document stuff, make it accessible, make it easy so that you build every year on top of the other.
And it just goes by that much faster too when you're planning for it. I do that with packing for trips.
Yeah, you do. You have your little yellow notebook.
What did I pack the last time? Because I just keep you keep adding to it. If there's something you forgot, you put it on there, and it's so easy to pack. So easy to plan an event when you have, here's the to-do list and here's the materials list and packing list and all that stuff. So much easier.
I did that for my camp, like Whitewater. When we go to our summer camp, it's like, I need a lot of different types of things than just a regular vacation. Like, so I keep a list of even the snacks that I packed that went well. This little individual pack of hummus was great. I need that next year.
Did not keep in a cooler.
It did. I was very on top of the ice. Okay. Number two, thank people regularly. I think that is another secret, like a subtle secret to success in ministry, is to constantly thank the people that make ministry happen, that work alongside you, that sacrifice their time and their energy for your ministry, or went above and beyond in a certain way, or filled in for you somewhere, or helped. Like, don't just let those moments pass. So be super disciplined about a handwritten card. If you have it in your budget, get them an Amazon gift card. I feel like the Amazon gift card's the new Starbucks gift card. You know, because it's just like the catch-all. Like, who doesn't want an Amazon gift card? You can buy anything, you know? Or if it's someone that you want to spend time with, or that you think might want to spend time with you, then you can take them out to lunch or out to coffee just to say thank you. Because, I mean, imagine, like, you say you were a guest speaker somewhere and you had given it your heart and your soul and your time and all of this preparation, and someone just said, thank you, bye. You know, it's like, okay, though, you said the words thank you, but there also should be a gesture, maybe in the form of a check, maybe in the form of a gift card or something. Because just the, like, hey, thanks, and letting that person leave, I just feel like there has to be this extra measure of
acknowledging that time and effort that they put in and sacrificed, probably doing something that they, you know, there's so many things they could have been doing. And if you just kind of leave it with, like, cool, thanks, bye, it's like, okay, maybe I won't next time.
And I think it also just is a good discipline, like, once a week, there's probably somebody you should thank. Maybe it's one of your volunteers, maybe it's another staff member, maybe it's a parent, maybe, who knows? But I think getting in the habit of thanking people at least once a week. And I think a handwritten card in the mail, like, you don't even have to spend any money, basically. And I think that says a huge, like, whoa, you thought of me and you went that extra mile. So
thanking people is a lost art. Writing a thank you note is even more of a lost art. And so if people get that type of stuff, it really touches them, I feel like.
Because here's, all of us want to be seen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a thank you says, I see you. And I acknowledge like what you did meant something. It wasn't just, we all moved on,
right. You
know? All right. Number three, work ahead. So when I was a rookie, one of the biggest mistakes I made is I felt like I was drowning and I felt super busy and I have so much to do. And I think the reason for it was I would do things when they were due.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like, oh, it's Tuesday, time to plan my youth group. Is like, no, the week before is time to plan your youth group. But I didn't, like, I don't know why that took so long for me to learn. It was like, all right, I'm going to dedicate Tuesday to doing everything I need to get done for tonight for youth group. And then there was no time for, oh, I have a really cool idea. What if I ordered like glow balls on Amazon? And then it was like, there's no time for that.
Yeah.
So working ahead. So here's my, you can do whatever works for you and your timeline, but I like to have everything. So my weekend is on Sunday. Well, some people have Saturday night services.
I know what you meant. Yeah.
We're starting Saturday night services.
My weekend's Monday and Tuesday.
My weekend services are on Sunday. I like to have everything done and ready by Thursday because that means Friday and Saturday, like, I can kind of chill a little bit. My youth group meets on Tuesdays, and that is like a, most of it's done on Thursday, and then I finish the final few things on Monday. Mm-hmm. Now, on a larger scale, you want to know what you're doing in general 3 months ahead at the least. And then if it's a super big event, maybe like a camp or a big retreat or something like that, you're probably needing to start 6 months out and kind of plug in the pieces as you get closer. You know, like when you do a wedding, you do the big stuff and then it gets smaller stuff as you get closer and closer. But always have a 3 month out plan, big stuff, 6 month to 9 month out plan. So this way you have plenty of time to do a few really important things. Number one, communicate that stuff that you're going to be doing, promote that stuff that you're going to be doing, and have margin for creativity. Here's what I've learned stifles creativity is hurried work habits. Mm. So if you're in a rush and you just are getting done what you need to get done to survive and get through like the next event, you have no margin to think big. You have no margin to get creative or do something exciting and different or do it really well. It might get done, but it's just not going to get done super duper well. So
turn your phone off.
Sorry.
Please.
Oops. I usually have it on Do Not Disturb, but I was waiting for a call earlier. Anyways, so
I going back to this point though, I like that idea, obviously, of getting ahead. I have a bad habit though. If I ever have a chance where I get trying to gain some margin and get ahead, a lot of times I'll get ahead and then I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. I can kind of chill and relax. And then before I know it, I'm like, shoot, now everything, I've wasted all that time and now I'm back to, you know. So like you're saying, planning well ahead, you know, for the bigger things, but it's like really being on top of that so that you're not, you get a little bit ahead and then you relax.
Right.
And I'm not saying, I guess you never relax, but I think the relaxation comes from the fact that you aren't panicking about what has to be done today or tomorrow. It's more like you're thinking ahead about things and some of those things will come to you as they get closer instead of it all being just jammed into the last second.
Well, so, and then you can fine tune it though. Like,
exactly.
So the time where you're like, well, I'm done. It's like, well, like you can fine tune it, or then you do have time to do things like thank people and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. You can just always make it better. But then that also gives you that time. Like it kind of, I guess we're moving into the next one, number four, but gives you time to care for your soul. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's really important as a youth pastor. I know we've sprinkled it in on different episodes, but you know, you I've said it before, and I didn't come up with this, but it makes so much sense that you are the most important person in your ministry. You, as the leader, set the tone for so much. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are dry spiritually, if you are cynical, if you're calloused, if you're burnt out, if you're overwhelmed, that's going to really trickle into the culture mm-hmm. of your ministry. But if you are excited to see people because your soul is well nourished, and if you can handle conflict well because you've been working on your leadership, and if you're a confident leader because, you know, you've sharpened those skills, then you're going to be better for your ministry, and you're going to be able to teach people what you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just so, so, so important that you're caring for yourself and constantly looking for ways to be a better leader. That's why you're watching or listening to this podcast, right? But it is so true. Like, what are you reading? What is your relationship with God like right now? Mm-hmm. What skills are you sharpening? But it really comes down to your soul. So, like, don't make the mistake either of like, well, I just learn leadership principles 24/7, but I'm like a soulless person. Yeah. But working on the part of you that relational heart, you know, mm-hmm. like whether that's with God or with others or with your family. But if you're relationally dry, it's just, it's hard, and ministry will take it out of you. You know, mm-hmm. I hit a point probably 2 years ago. It's when our youngest was really young, and every person I saw, I was like, what do you want? You know? And I just felt like everyone was here to take something from me, and right. I didn't have anything to give. I was like, don't make eye contact with me. I'm here to get my job done and leave, because I didn't have any relational capacity left. And it was a season because our youngest was so demanding, and I feel like I've moved out of that for the most part. But I'm just, where can you find that place to maybe for a season you just have to slow down a little bit? Like, I would rather see a youth pastor need to slow down or take something off their plate or maybe not do a certain event than say, this isn't for me, I'm out of here, right. Because they're tired and because their soul is just depleting. Mm-hmm. But if you can figure out like, okay, this season is particularly taxing for some kind of reason, how can you strategize around what you need as a person mm-hmm. and your job and make those work in harmony? And hopefully you work at a church that values your health over what you can produce. And if they're just way too demanding on your time and your family, like, that could be a great question to ask yourself of, do they care about my health as right. much as they care about what I can produce for the church? You know, putting that process over people, like, that's just a really unhealthy environment. I'm lucky enough, like, the place where I work, they so value our health as individuals mm-hmm. before we can bring anything to the table. They're like, how's your family? How are you? How's your marriage? We want all of that great before you try to do anything here.
Yeah.
What do you need? Take off early, go here, take a Sabbath or a mini sabbatical, whatever. Just get good, you know, because it's not going to change at the other place. You have to figure out those habits.
But that's also on you as the youth pastor to be communicating that with your senior pastor, and just to let them know where you're at. Because if you are, we always joke about the people that when you say, how are things going? Good, fine, great. And it's like, no, they're not. I mean, you're not going to know that though, unless someone's going to communicate that. So be open and be vulnerable and let them know, I'm struggling. You know, I'm drowning here and I need help. You know, whatever that is, like, I need an intern, I need another director, I need a vacation, I need, you know, marital counseling, something, you know,
maybe
whatever that
is. Maybe there's something you don't need to be doing that you are doing.
Right.
Like, I need this particular thing taken off my plate. I need this particular expectation, you know,
and
tweaked
hopefully
in some way.
Leadership will say, hey, you know, we have your back. And that's right. a good, that's a sign of a healthy church, and hopefully that they would honor that. And I right. feel really bad for you if you feel that you can't do that because you know that the response is not going to be a positive one.
And it sounds like such a foreign concept, like nobody would do that. But you know what? I've talked
that's
to
all too common.
Yeah. And I'm just like, senior pastors, what is wrong with you? You know, like, I've talked to so many youth pastors from all over the country that are like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, you've never, like, this is toxic. I'm like, how? Right. Like, how do we allow like these staff dynamics to get to this point when our collective goal is to reach people for Jesus? Guess what? You're a part of the church.
Right.
I'm a part of the church. Reach me for Jesus, please. Like, don't overlook me and use me as this weird stepping stone to reach the congregation. Like, that's so backwards to trash your staff to reach people for Jesus. Like, wait, then what people count and what people
don't? You're not a person.
It's weird. So yeah.
And you do have a really good relationship with the senior pastors at our church. And we've talked about doing many times that we need to do, you know, how do you handle a difficult senior pastor bringing on our senior pastor who is not a difficult person by any means to kind of walk through that. And that's an episode somewhere down the line when all schedules can meet up. We'll be able to do that episode.
And then, wow, this is segueing great into number 5, put people first always. It's hard to put people first when you're not caring for your soul. But remember that people are never an interruption. Mm. And I think sometimes in ministry, if you're like me, you like to get work done. Like, I want to go in to work and I want to complete my to-do list and I don't want anyone to get in the way of that. And sometimes when someone needs to talk or there's a conversation to be had, I'm like, get out of my way. I'm trying to do ministry, you know? And you're like, wait a minute. Then you forgot the definition of ministry because ministry is always people first. And God, I forget who said it, but I think it was Dallas Willard. He said, my biggest piece of advice is to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Because if you are in a hurry, love is lost. Mm. You're too hurried to love. You're too hurried to treat people the way that they need to be treated. You're too hurried to prioritize correctly. And you're just frantic and short and cold and looking out for your own self-interests. Like, I mean, you can even notice this like when you're trying to get your kids ready for school in the morning. So if you feel in a hurry, you're like, get your shoes on, brush your teeth. Like, you're so...
And you sound like a crow.
You might. Have you ever heard a happy crow? But if you have maybe gotten up a little early, you feel ready. You feel, you know...
I got up early. I didn't feel ready.
I've noticed a difference in myself if I've had a moment to like, okay, I'm ready enough that I can help you, or we've gotten up early enough so that we don't have to be frantic. Yeah. But you can't treat people nicely when you're frantic. It's like, get your shoes on.
Right.
You know, but if you're not frantic, you can take the time it takes to get
your shoes on.
Maybe, maybe. But either way, don't forget the reason that you're here is people.
Yeah.
Always, always put people first. When you're making decisions, put people first. When you're designing program, put people first. When you're faced with something that you maybe aren't sure what to do, think of it in terms of the people first. And it doesn't mean you're never going to hurt anyone's feelings. That's not what we mean, but that you make decisions from a perspective of value, and that you're valuing people above valuing an outcome or a product or something that's being produced or accomplished, that the people are always what is most important. And I think a lot of leaders can lose sight of that.
Yeah, it's easy.
It is, because a lot of us are doers. We want to get stuff done. We look out for our own reputations, but remember why we're here, and it's for people.
Well, we're going to have a question of the day that's going to be a little bit of a polarizing topic. I love pizza and I love pineapple. What do you think about pineapple on pizza? Hawaiian pizza, if you will. Wait, is Hawaiian pizza where there's ham too?
I don't know.
We're just going to go with pineapple. Pineapple on pizza. Is that a go or a no?
It's an absolutely not.
Here's but you like pineapple though, right?
Yeah. Cold, refreshing, fresh pineapple.
I'm just asking. And then you do like pizza.
I do. But not the two. I don't. Why would I put hot fruit on an Italian? I mean, it's like tomato sauce, cheese, and some hot tropical fruit. Like, I can't. You know what I saw that was even worse? I don't know if it was a joke or not, but on Reddit one time, it was like, we all disagree on the pineapple on pizza thing, but can we all just agree we hate these people? And there was like sliced kiwi on the pizza.
I've never heard of that.
And that's why I'm like, I don't know if it was a joke or not, but pineapple on pizza, just, I don't like fruit unless it's super cold. And so I'll never get on board.
I think the goal, and I'm a no on that. I'll have it. I won't like it.
I know what the goal is.
Pick them off. What?
Salty, sweet kind of
thing.
Because
yeah, because if you do take like chocolate and pretzels or something, it's like, oh, how amazing. But those two, pizza and pineapple, I just don't think they just don't
make it. It wasn't
meant
to be.
So put in the comments what your version is.
I feel like more people like it than not. I really? Yeah. Every time I bring it up with people, they're like, oh, I love Hawaiian pizza. Hmm. So many people love it.
Well, we'll find out. We'll do our own poll here, see what you guys say. We want to read a little review here. This comes from YouTube. There we go. All right. This was from our episode about youth pastor prep. And this was from Matt C. He says, I really love this. You guys are easy to listen to. Everything was encouraging and reminds me why I chose to do this be a youth pastor. Thank you, Matt C.
Thanks, Matt C. And can we call him Matt C?
Matt C. Patsy. If you guys would be so kind as to leave a review on our podcast channel, or if you want to leave a comment in our YouTube channel, we'd appreciate that too. We love reading what you guys have to say. So until then, we will see you next time.